Well, it's our School of Perfection, and I brought a message about, well, what else would it be if not perfection? Amen. And so we want to enlighten and, you know, repeat some of the things we've said, but there's nothing wrong with repetition. It just makes it more plain. Amen. Perfection is a spiritual condition which we all know, in which the residual sin nature in our souls, minds, will, and emotions, and our bodies have been completely, first of all, dominated, and then in full perfection, complete perfection, totally and completely removed. And this is done, cleaning out completely by the Word of God, the blood of the Lord Jesus, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. To really understand what we mean by this, we must first of all understand that we human beings are tripartite beings, where a man is made out of spirit, soul, and he lives in a body. And so the essence of perfection is to return that the soul of man to have the sin nature removed from it, and then also from his physical body, so that, and of course his spirit man, so that spirit, soul, and body are completely cleaned out, and he can be restored to the state in which Adam was created without any sin substance originally in the garden. And that process has been going on for quite a while, a long time now. And we stand on the cusp, on the very existence of the very day when that will be accomplished, and the whole world will not only hear about it like they've been hearing about all these years by the mercy and grace of God through this ministry, but now they will see it in perfection and in beauty. Amen. If you believe that, give an amen to the Lord. Yes, so man is a spirit, of course we know that, made in the image and the likeness of God. He has a soul, that's in the area of our brain here, enclosed by the skull, the physical skull, and then he has a body which he lives in habitually. And there is a demarcation, like Pastor has taught us, between the soul, which involves the mind, the will, and the emotions, and the rest of the inner man. Now, when we get born again, the divine nature is injected. I love that word, because what it means is that it's not something that is done passively. When you say something, you inject, and say something, for example, when you want to give an injection to somebody, there's a liquid in the syringe, but it doesn't, if you put the needle into the body, it doesn't go in. So you have to press, you have to exert force, inject that nature into our spirit, our human spirits, thereby changing and transforming it without into a sinful state, from a sinful state in a state that's completely void of the sin nature. And that is what we call getting born again. Now you will notice that the sin substance is removed from the inner man, but not in the mind, the will, and emotions, which, as well, are encapsulated. Where's that that illustration that Pastor uses? If you can dig it up for me, so I'm not just talking in the air. There's an encapsulation on the mind, will, and emotions, which is not affected by the getting born again of the inner man. And so the essence of Christianity is to use the blood of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the life of God to now recreate. Thank you. There it is. Okay, he's breathing out fire. That's when you pray. Now, see that up there where the black stuff is? That place is encapsulated. There's another design, another picture that shows it much better, where it is actually sequestered off from the rest of the inner man. But the essence is, when you get born again, all that gets born again is your human spirit. The mind, the will, and emotions are not affected. And of course, we know the flesh is not affected. So the sin nature in the flesh, the physical body, and the mind, the will, and emotions, which represent our soul, is in conflict with the divine nature in the spirit man. And so the essence is to now use the blood, the word, and the spirit, and the spirit to overcome that, to remove that impediment in our physical bodies, in our minds, and will, and emotions, in our souls, so that all the three can function perfectly in harmony. Amen? And so, when we get born again, this divine nature injected into any man will cause us to, as what the Apostle Paul says, he says it very beautifully, to have this conundrum in our physical bodies, in our bodies. That conundrum is a question of, you want to do the will of God, but you can't do it. And you know that there's a desire in your heart. I remember that happened to me when I was a Christian, very young Christian, but it just flashed into my mind now, so I'll just share it. I remember I had a very difficult issue with smoking. And I was a two-pack-a-day smoker when I got born again. And then, yeah, wow. And so when I got born again, I said, if I'm truly born again, you know, it's amazing how we give God tests. And, you know, if I'm truly born again, this thing should not be happening to me again. But that was not my experience, at least at first. I'd leave church. We had church in Bulija International School then. And I said, today, I'm going to go home. I'm not going to smoke. I'm not going to buy cigarettes. And I would leave church without, you know, the life of God bumbly and, you know, we're having fun. But somehow or the other, I find out my car was just parked next to some lady on the street. I said, I'm going to buy Tom Tom. But you know Tom Tom and, you may not know, but those of us who are in the, they go together. So when you buy Tom Tom, you just extend another, you know, and I'll be so disturbed, so blunt. This is not possible. You know, the devil gets on our case and makes it a very difficult thing for you to obey God. But I knew that the word I was hearing, because the way I got born again was very supernatural. I said, but it can't be. There's something wrong. There's something that I don't know. But I just said, okay, I'll just continue. And oh my goodness, give the Lord a clap of him. When it pleases God to get rid of it from me, he will do it. And that's exactly what happened. You want the story, Abby? Okay, I'll tell you. Everybody's looking at me. One beautiful, I'm not even sure it was a Sunday. It was a Sunday, yes, because I remember now. There were all the three rooms in Bulija International School, they were full at that time. But there one Sunday, and the word came. Some guy, I'd never seen him before in my life. I don't know who he is. Until today, I don't know who he is. Just came up and gave a word after the worship. Said, there's a person here who's been oppressed by the spirit of nicotine. He's right here. I said, ha. My number, I knew it was me, but you know how it is. It can't be me alone now. Somebody else must be here. And I was, I looked around. Nobody got up. And the guy gave the word. Said, I know you're here. Ha. What you talking about, Eleni, man? Anyway, to go a long story short, whatever happens, happens. Eh? All right. I just got up. And when I got up, there are three or four other people now got up. So what would have happened if I didn't get up? But I got, by the grace and mercy of God, not my doing, I got up. And Pastor just, the simplest thing. Why am I saying all this? I'm telling you that God is real. Everything in this book is real, and it is available for those that will key in to believe it. I don't want to go into aggression, but maybe somebody needs it. And so he just called me out. He didn't, you know, do anything. He just laid hands, prayed in the spirit, and cast out the devil. And I said, is that it? Oh, okay. All right. The other three guys that came out after me, as he was going back, one more came back out. You know, so there were about four or five of us. Anyway, I didn't feel anything. I didn't know anything. I mean, I didn't, you know. And I tell you, to get to the glory of God, it was almost 48 hours before I remembered that I had to smoke the cigarette. I just said, hey, come on. Listen, yes, God, why didn't you give a clap to the offering? Yes. Almost 48, I got home, I slept, and I woke up the next morning, and it was the next afternoon. I said, hey, come on. I haven't smoked a cigarette. But you know the devil as well as I do. He said, just to prove it. Prove it that it's not easy. You haven't prove it. Yeah? There's a pack of cigarettes in your drawer there. Yeah, bring it out. Look at it and tell me that, you know? I said, of course I can do it. And I took the thing out. Oh, my goodness. Biggest mistake in my life. As I was looking, I think it was hungering me. But there was a grace. Tell you, though, there's always grace. Something just got hold of it. I don't know when I did it. And the Bible said, there's one or two missing. The whole, I just crunched it up like this with my right fist. And I threw it over the wall behind my bus quarters. And that was the last time I ever smoked a cigarette. What am I saying? Folks, what we're talking about is real. The sin nature is real, and God is even more real. The sin nature is in the soul, it's in the physical body. But we know that because we have a God who is real and who hears the prayers of his people and who is very much interested in having a people that are totally delivered of the sin nature that makes them do things, that makes them be at odds with his plans for their purposes and lives, he will always turn up at the right time. And he will deliver us in Jesus' name. So, when we get born again, let's go back to our message now. When we get born again, the divine nature is injected into our inner man. Here, Well, it's not in the soul. I just said that. Nor is it in the rest of the physical body. And we see this in Romans. Give me Romans 7, chapter 7, verse 14, I think. Romans 7, 14 and down. Thank you, sir. Yes. For I say, for we know, let's read together. For we know that the law is spiritual. In other words, it's not of man. Even though God wrote it by through man. But that thing was downloaded by God the Holy Spirit and they wrote it down. Man wrote it down. But I am carnal, sold under sin. No more in Jesus' name. Next verse. Verse 16. Now this is the context. For if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good, because by the law is the knowledge of sin. Amen? Next verse. Now then is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. This is the conundrum of a born-again Christian that Paul was trying. He went through it. Can you imagine, as mighty and as wonderful as Paul's life was, this is where he started. Just like you and I, where we started. But we're not there anymore in Jesus' name. But for those who are still there, you have a hope. You have a hope. This is the hope. So there is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Next verse. For I know. Now, we have to get to this point where we have an understanding of what is going on. And I want to thank God for the wonderful teachings that we've had in this year, in this place, over the years, decades now. These are some of the things that got me rooted. I say, okay, so I know it's me. See, so in other words, it's not me. It's the sin. You know, that's a real deliverance. I don't know who wants to hear this today, but that is a mighty deliverance. So it's not that it's me. I know I don't want to do it. I knew I didn't want to smoke. I spent $400 learning how not to smoke, and it failed. That might not be much to anybody, but $400 for a student is a lot of money. I was a student in America. $400 it took for me. And I went for a six-week program. I had to put butts, all kinds of silly things. But anyway, what am I saying? In me, I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will, mind, is present with me. But how to perform the outworking of the sin, that which is good, I find not. A real conundrum. Next verse. Thank you, Jesus. Next verse. For the good that I would do, that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Hello, has anybody ever been there? Okay. Next verse. All of us. Now, this is the key now. If I do that which I would not, it is no more I, that is me, my will, that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Amen? That, folks, I got to tell you, this is one of the verses that will set me free. Completely, I thank God for the teaching of the fathers. Give the Lord a clap offering, you know? I mean, we take these things for granted now, but for a guy, somebody who's looking for a way out, somebody who's looking for God, say, Lord, can you help me? I don't like who or what I am. Please help me. And then you now hear something like this. You go and say, so there's hope after all. Hey, so it's not really me that's it's sin. Okay, all right, that's sin. I don't want it inside me. What's the next step? Next verse. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Next verse. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Next verse. But I see another law where? In my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Verse 25, 4. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body? This is Apostle Paul's experience, and all of our experience at one time or the other. We've all come to this blunt. That's why you're here today. You say, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Next verse. I thank God. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now that's not going to be a situation that continues for long. But the essence is this. He understands his mind that he will serve the law of God. And that law of sin that is in his flesh, as he serves God with his mind, God will enlighten his mind so that he will no longer be able to serve that law of sin. Because God will give him revelation, wisdom, and knowledge, an understanding concerning how to overcome that sin nature that is inside his body thereby giving him, giving us the victory. All of us have been there. Amen? So the sin nature in our souls and bodies is the one that's in conflict with the divine nature in our spirits. And so some of us still sin here every now and then. Some of us still sin quite a bit. But thanks be to God. And we are not debtors to walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen? And you are well able to overcome it. I tell you, folks, if I could overcome it, if I could overcome that sin urge, now I'm still in the process. I'm not perfect yet. But I'm moving towards perfection, like all of us here at one level or the other. But I know that I, in Christ Jesus, have the victory because I will not stop. And you will not stop either until you get that perfection and fullness in Christ. Get all that stuff out. Amen. But there are many Christians that still struggle with this sin nature in our souls and flesh. But the Lord is merciful. He says we cannot, he says we should not even, or so they cannot want or even please God in any way. He said that not, he said, I do that which I allow not. What I would, I do not. That's a conundrum. And so this is a situation for many in the church today. And it's sad because, sadly, the Church of God, who is this, the avenue through which the information to get out, that you can overcome these things, is not doing as it should, what it should. Rather, it's chasing after ephemeral things, you know, titles, chasing after houses and cars and, you know, empires, all kinds of stuff. But the problem, the issue of the church, which is sin nature in the flesh and in the soul, many don't conclude that it's anything worth dealing with, or even worse, anything worth telling their people about. We thank God for this ministry that over the years has not only insisted but persisted that perfection is possible. Not only possible, it is desirable. Not only desirable, it is compulsory. Thank you for that. Amen. When you tell people perfection is compulsory, I said it to one of my friends, it's compulsory. Yeah, God is not a God of how do you put it? Some of that. So God doesn't make you do things. Well, it's true. It's only as far as you want to go, but recognize that there's a lot that you're not seeing God, even though you're born again Christian, filled with the Holy Spirit, if you do not get that sin nature out. It's just the nature of what it's all about. So anyway, so they've tried using all they can think of to tame sin, but have failed, and so many have thrown up their hands in despair. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that causes us always to triumph in Christ Jesus. I want to thank you all again. I keep saying thank you, but I cannot thank you enough. In Scripture, Pastor Christian Center, we are truly privileged who have fathers who have been to the mountain. They've been there. They know what it's all about. I remember when I first joined Scripture, Pastor, the first day I came in, what stopped me in my tracks was a loud noise. It was my younger sister. God bless her. Shout out my younger sister. She too. She said, she woke me up thrice that morning. But I got low. Okay, Mumbo. Of course, I went back and said, the third time. Okay. We're going. But when we got to the gate, we hadn't entered the church. I heard this loud noise. Ah! I said, where are we going? I said, is this church? I said, yeah, it was church. That was Bully Johnson. I said, but what is that noise? I said, that's pastor prayer. I said, what? You know, of course, when you've never seen it before, you think praying as long as you do quietly in your closet, the second person can. I heard him loud and clear at the gate. Ah. But, hey, that's God for you. Here we are. Well, how many years later? 30-something years later. And we thank God for that single day of obedience to God as he brought my sister to take me to church for the first time. Real church. Proper church. Amen? Amen. But what I'm saying, so, we are especially blessed and privileged in Scripture, Pastor, to have fathers who have been to the mountain. Amen? The place of prayer, fasting and communion, waiting upon the Lord. I remember when Pastor would go for days. He would go for days. Sometimes he would just lock himself up, and you won't see him for a week, maybe 2 weeks. I said, wow. You know? Mommy, too, would fast and pray, and you wouldn't know whether she's ever going to stop again. And that's how this church was built. And so we've received so much, particularly, I want to thank God for the revelation knowledge and insight and the wisdom of how to overcome the lust of the flesh and sin in the flesh, the sin nature of the soul and the flesh, and then to prevail against all these lusts and to become more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Moses, you know, Moses went up to the mountain and he came down. The Bible says his face was full of the glory of God. Amen? They have also come to the mountain. They have also received, as it were, the tablets, the word of instruction. Now, that didn't happen in one day. It didn't happen in one month. It's happened over 30, almost 40 years now. But the canon is complete now. And they have come down to tell you it's possible. It's possible. Not only is it possible, they have the word of God that makes understanding and apprehending it possible. Amen? As it were, they've like obtained the commandments of life and love, how to purge the sin nature from our souls and flesh so we can be free of the sin nature to manifest the glory of God in this season. Amen? This is good news for today. Tell your neighbor, the gospel has been preached and is being preached. The gospel of perfection and fullness. That's our gospel. That's our gospel in this day and hour. Been brought together over many years of ministry, many years of daily practice of the principles. So we understand, we see, and we can see the development in our fathers. That it is possible to remove that sin nature from your soul, remove it from your flesh, and to live pure and holy lives. I remember we had these stickers printed once upon a time. Perfection is possible. How many of you remember the stickers? Yeah, okay, you're the ancients of scripture, pastor. We had tons of them printed. We distributed them everywhere we went. Now, I wasn't aware whether they received it, but those that received it, I believe they got a message. Perfection, folks, is possible. And not only is it possible, it is now in this day. I won't use the word compulsory, but it's advisable. Because what is coming down in this season that we are entering into, you don't have an option anymore. You don't have an option of not getting perfect, because the things that are going to come against the church, the buffeting, Bible says Satan is coming down having great wrath. Wrath against what? The church of God that is not walking in these things. Hello, somebody. Romans 6:14. That's what I wrote here. That's what it says. Romans 6:14 says, I think it was said, Romans 6:14, yes. Yes, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. That grace that has been obtained for us by the submission and the obedient, consistent daily practice of the principles of Christ's life in our Father's case, first of all, and then in our own grace. May God continue to grant us great grace to fulfill the fullness of our prophetic destiny, to fill our lives and our hearts and our physical bodies with the life of Almighty God and manifest His glory in this day. Amen? That's a grace that you need to pray for. So, I wrote here, tell your neighbor that sin shall not have dominion over you. Both sin the substance and sin the acts. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's possible. And also possible, it's desirable. Not only is it desirable, it's an imperative. God said, be perfect, even as I am perfect. That pause me, make it pause a little bit. It says, be ye perfect, even in exactly the same manner as I am perfect. Now, can man be like God? Nobody's answering. Nobody's even volunteering an answer. Of course, the answer is yes. Say, what do you say? Ye are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High. When the Most High gives birth to sons and daughters, they are gods. Small gods, but gods nevertheless, because they have the divine nature, or should have, divine nature flowing in them. So we say, look, stop thinking yourself as mere ordinary men. It's a mental paradigm shift that all of us need to make at one time or the other. Stop thinking you're men, you're paradigm. This is my body, or this is my circumstances, what shall I do? Hello, God says you are gods. It's a paradigm shift that I dare say that many in the church have yet to make. Otherwise, we won't be struggling with some of the things we're struggling with now in the church. I'm talking about not this church, but the body of Christ in general. God says, you are gods and all of you are children of Most High. In other words, conduct yourself like a God. Act like a God. Be like God. I am perfect. Be perfect like me. Amen. I'm perfect. Let's not miss the word. Perfect means zero sin. Zero sin nature in your body. Zero sin rate in your lives, just like the Lord Jesus. Amen? I want to thank God for the Lord Jesus. He gave a testimony just before he went to the cross. He said, Lord, he said, the prince of this world cometh. And he has nothing Give it a little clap for it. Ah, now that is the kind of statement we should be able to make. We're going to do it too. He's just a forerunner. We are following after. There must be people on the earth today that can say like Lord Jesus, or that will say. Maybe there are already that can. I don't know. I'm not that bad. There will be people in the earth that will declare this, will say everything that the Lord Jesus went through, we're going to have, we're going to experience. So there will come a time, by the grace and mercy of God, I'm looking for to say, the prince of this world has nothing in me. What a great privilege. So his all his stuff, his sin nature, his thoughts, his attitudes, everything that belongs to the sin nature is no more inside me. By the mercy and the grace of God. We're going to get there. Amen? He said, no, another translation says, he has nothing in me that he can legally claim. So it's a legal process. It's a legal issue. Amen? Beloved, this is what the whole world is waiting for. I'm thankful again for the, I can't stop thanking the fathers. I can't stop thanking for the years of ministry, the years of example, the years of, you know, when your hope is down, they'll just say something on the pulpit, and you just lift up your hopes and you say, ah, thank God. Okay. You scrub yourself again. You get all the unbelief out. You know, it's unbelief that does that to us. And all the unbelief out, then you power on. Undercover. Always under. It took a while for us to understand that, but now we know all that is under the covering of the fathers. And that's why, by the grace and mercy of God, this hallowed pulpit is achieving, not just here in Nigeria, but worldwide, the kind of attestation that is seeing and will continue to see even until and beyond when Jesus comes. Amen? The whole world is waiting to see a group of people like themselves, at least in effigy, in body, you have two arms, a leg, a head, and you look like a man. But who they see demonstrating, like the Lord Jesus, Satan has nothing in them. God's upon the earth. Give me Isaiah, this one always, give me one of these scriptures. Isaiah 45:14. This is what's going to happen, folks. Get ready. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt, the merchandise of Ethiopia and of Sabaeans, men of what? Stature. It's coming. It's here. Men of stature shall come up unto thee, say unto me, and they shall be thine. They shall be mine. In other words, not that you're going to make them slaves, but that, you know, the attention, the desire that they will have is to be like you. Because they see something in you that is way beyond anything they have seen before. And so they said, they shall be mine. They shall come over unto you. And what shall they do? They shall be done. They shall come unto you in chains. Not that they have physical chains. I'm talking about the chains of circumstantial things, the chains of lack, the chains of poverty, the chains of small-mindedness, the chains of, hello, religion. Religions have, they have some heavy chains. And they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee, supplicate. They shall make supplication unto thee, like they make supplication to God. But you will not take that as God. I say, surely, God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no other God. No other God that they have seen than the one they have seen inside you. Can you understand what I'm saying? They will see God in you, and they will know that this is how God, and I have waited for him. Amen. So these ones will come, and they will come by to you, and they'll expect something. Now, a word of caution here. The word of perfection as it pertains to Christian experience does not mean a utopia where you can no more sin. It is possible. But the essence of the perfection is that you do not sin because you have all the implements to maintain that perfection and that fullness of Christ. It's true, Adam was made perfect, but he also sinned. But it means perfection simply means removing the sin nature from the soul and the flesh by the blood, the word, and the power of the Spirit. Doesn't mean you can't sin again. Adam sinned, he was perfect, like we said. But we are to grow to become like the second Adam. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ, who, though he was born perfect with humility, he learned to maintain that perfection. I can imagine, can you imagine you go to Jerusalem? Oh, glory to God. I don't know why this came to my mind just now. You go to Jerusalem for the feast. And you somehow maneuver and you find, you know, I believe that thing was by the Spirit. He didn't do it of himself. To go and sit with the elders of the law. 3 days. It wasn't natural. It was supernatural. And you're sitting there and you're speaking with those who have been versed in the law, have been steeped in the law, and you're confounding them with your answers. To me, that is awesome. That's the kind of, you know, thing that we will be doing. We'll be confounding those who think that they know. And Jesus was doing it, but in all that, the Bible says he was still humble. When his parents came calling, now, maybe he didn't even know his parents are going. I mean, just he was just having a ball. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. But he was just having a good time. I mean, who will have a good time being taught of and receiving the word of the Lord and, you know, discussing, you know? So the time was just passing, and he would go to, and he was just having a fun time, thinking perhaps his parents were still around. But he didn't know they had left. But anyway, they came back, and that's what we said. In spite of all the knowledge, in spite of all the wisdom, in spite of all the ways and means of the law that he had learned from all those people, the Bible says he humbled himself and he was subject to them. Folks, that degree of humility I covet with all my heart. I'm telling you, because, folks, where we're going is a place where no man has ever been before. No man has ever seen it before. The things that are going to happen in our individual lives, in our corporate lives, nobody has ever, ever seen it before. The Bible says the glory of the latter house shall be far greater than the former. Eye has not seen, thank you. Neither has ear heard. Neither has entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for those that love them. High and mighty things. We have just seen just a taste of it in the lives of our fathers. It's going to expand. It's going to increase. It's going to multiply. And then it will be downloaded to us. But the essence of why I'm saying this is that in spite of all the sinless perfection, all the things that the Lord Jesus knew, all that he had, say what he said. Mommy always says it, Pastor always says it. He said, learn of me. Learn of me, I am meek and I am lowly in heart. And therefore you shall find rest unto your soul. So, beloved brethren, we are going to a state of permanent perfection after the temptation. We're about to leave the wilderness now, or, you know, about to enter into the ark. We'll get that in a minute. But the essence is it, though we are born with sin in our flesh and our souls, when we get born again, the nature is removed from our spirits. We must also then use diligently the blood, the word, and the power of the Holy Spirit to remove the sin nature and to maintain it. The Bible talks about using the blood. It says of, I think it's Hebrews chapter 12, or is it chapter 9? Give me Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I also go verse 12:24 here. 12:24. Amen. Talking about the use of the blood, the word, and the spirit. 12:24. Hebrews 12:24. Thank you. No, it's not this one. Okay. 13:24. Excuse me. No. There's a scripture I'm missing. Where it talks about the everlasting blood of the everlasting covenant. Aha, 13:20. Thank you. Aha, this is it. Thank you. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The blood is first. The blood is first for the cleansing. Then use the word of God. Then the power of the Holy Spirit, using the blood and the word in our hearts to release that power in great measure to overcome sin in our souls, in our physical members, in all of our circumstances. The word, says, give me 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. That's a very familiar one. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Nobody's going to do it for us. Us, we cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. I can, excuse me, Lord, I can accept that our flesh is filthy. What flesh, what is the filthiness of the spirit? That just hit me like a railroad truck just now. So it said filthiness of the flesh and spirit. That means that there's filth in our spirits, our human spirits, that we need to get rid of. There's sin in our mind, my will, and our emotions. That's part of the human spirit, isn't it? Just the upper. So there's a filthiness there that we must expunge in order to perfect holiness. And it's done by the feet of the Lord. I never saw that before. And then, of course, the power of the Spirit, you know, Romans chapter 8, verse 26, and so on. But the essence is this. We're going to use the blood, the word, and the power of the Spirit to perfect this holiness, perfect the cleansing of our minds, will, emotions, physical body, and circumstances, so that we'll be clean vessels, pure, sanctified, meet for the Master's every use, prepared unto the good work of his glory and kingdom in this day. Amen? So now, how do we, as we begin to run down, how do we do this? First of all, as I said, humility and the fear of the Lord. There's no other way out, folks. The pastor's been telling us over and over and over and over again for the past several weeks, if you ain't humble, you ain't going nowhere. It's humility that opens the door to grace. The Lord Jesus says of nothing, said of all the things he would have said that we should learn about him. It wasn't his power, it wasn't his omnipotence, it wasn't the way that he spoke to the disciples, nothing else except humility. He said, learn of me, for I, Lord Jesus, I am meek and lowly in heart. And it's only when we, by the help of the Holy Spirit, learn of him, his meekness and humility, that we'll truly, truly find rest unto our souls. Amen? Humility. And then, of course, caps the other side of humility is the fear of the Lord. That means reverencing God and having the fear of the Lord in our hearts. But that's not a bad fear in a sense. It's called reverence. It's called being slow to speak, slow to wrath, letting your words be few, making sure that everything you do is in line with the will and the word of God all the time. That's walking in the fear of the Lord. You're not fear, it's not going to bash you on the head, but you will not assume that he will not discipline if you do something wrong. So you're always walking barefoot, priests. You watch where you walk. You look at your steps. I want to do this. Lord, what sayest thou? Sir, thank you. See, these are professors. Circumspectly. Amen. In the fear of the Lord. Then number two, how we do this, how do we maintain perfection in our souls and our physical bodies? And we pray in the Spirit a lot. Pray in the Spirit, or pray in the Spirit, with all kinds of prayer. First of all, you pray battle prayer, where you travail and you do all that thing. And then, you know, you now also use time to pray with communion prayers. Battle prayer, thank God for good morning, Jesus. Let's give a little clap offering, amen? That's a good place to learn battle prayer. If you've never done it before and you're listening online, and most of us here have, a good place to start learning how to do battle prayer is to get up in the morning at 5 o'clock and join Good Morning Jesus. It's welcome. You're welcome from anywhere you are all over the world. Whoever's listening to this, I don't know. That's a good place. And if you do it at 5 o'clock every day for several months, a year, I don't know, whatever it is, you will find yourself changing on the inside like nothing else. That platform is a God platform. God is there every morning, meeting people, touching hearts, changing hearts. I'm speaking from experience. I am in a sense. I'm running an advert, but I'm telling you that I have been changed, and I'm being changed progressively because of that Good Morning Jesus. So that's a good place to learn battle prayer. And then, of course, there's the communion prayers, which is when you commune with God yourself and your thoughts and all that. Then you now go to bind the devil. All this is basic perfection 101 or 001 stuff. Binding the devil, you confess the word, and then you meditate on the word, and then you do the word, all this. We used to have the young ones used to have this, you know, the cadence of things, you know, you take the, you do it, you bind it. I don't remember because I was not that young. Was that prayed? Say, prayed, take it, and then do. Yeah, okay. I remember it used to be in our books in those days. All my children knew it by heart. And then you meditate on the word. Meditate. The word is nigh thee in thy mouth, in thy heart, that thou mayest what? Do it. The exercise of meditation is not just to read it. You meditate, you take time. You see, you can't rush into God's presence and rush back out. You must take time. You must say, what does it say? Well, Lord, what are you speaking to me through this word? What are you telling? What do I need to do to apprehend the promise that is in this word? And as you meditate, you take your time, you listen to the scripture, maybe you turn to other scriptures that God points out to you. That's how the word is built up in your heart. So when a situation comes, that word will be the first thing that comes out. That's what meditation does. Amen? Meditation will say, the word is nigh in thy mouth, thou mayest do it. Then you do the word, which is what I just said. Then fasting, prayer, and living. All these is the essence of humbling our soul and making ourselves ready for what is coming. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so by removing all the residual sin nature from our souls, from our bodies, we come into the state of sinless perfection. And then by the same way we got it, we maintain it over time. And then we come to a place of our goal, which is permanent perfection, where God can begin to trust you with the Spirit without measure. And I dare say that I know for the fathers that that day has come. I mean, the things that, if you sit with Pastor for a few minutes, or maybe say 15, 20 minutes, there's so much that comes out. So much wisdom, so much word, so many examples, free examples, and even about things that seem mundane, like, you know, the political situation. And the pastor just say, blah, 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 and just, what am I new? That's something that never occurred to me. But, you know, because there's a connection between heaven and himself by the mercy and grace of God, gems just drop out. Gems just drop out. That's why it's good to stay close to oversight, though. You know? Your life will just be changed by one phrase. I know that's happened to me several times. But think of your mommy. Mommy just drops something for you. She says, I'm not saying anything, no, but just, you know, maybe you need to focus on that a bit. Pastor, you just drop it. And, you know, if you're wise, you hear, and you do, you get the result. Amen? Like Jesus. Turning now. So we begin to do miracles like Jesus, which is where we're going. You know, raising the dead, turning water to wine, all these things. That's where we begin to see the fullness of the things that God wants for us to do. So perfection is not a utopia that you can never see. There are people that have shown us that, you know, that sin is not something that you can just watch over because you think you are perfect. Many people have called themselves perfect. Branham. That's one that sweeps my mind, you know? Yeah. He thought he was perfect, but he wasn't. So we maintain it by constantly using the blood, the word, and the power of the Spirit, and to become into cleansing perfection and maintain it as you come into permanent perfection, which is the only time God will be able to trust us with the Spirit without measure. This, I believe, should be the goal of every Christian. The sad reality, however, is that it's not even mentioned in many places. I don't know of any other place. I haven't been to many places because I've been here for many years. But I don't know of any other place where this kind of thing is taught. Perfection is not taught in the sense of, you know, being in a situation where God can use you and give you the Spirit without measure and use you without, in the same way the Lord Jesus Christ was used. This is not something that is preached, which is why God has to clean out his church. Pastor keeps saying, there's a flood coming. Amen? There's a flood coming. One of you said, there's a flood coming. And the pastor said, the ark is ready. That tells you that the body of the ark has been completely built. Yes, the three tiers are ready. The length, the breadth, and the height of the body is ready. All that is remaining now is for the little, the living things who have no idea of what's going on. We're just following, you know, the signs and you know, it's amazing. I find it so wonderful that even in Moses' time, wasn't that Moses sent out anybody to bring those animals in? Sorry, I said Moses, forgive me. Moses is my man. Noah, I meant. Sorry, Noah. Noah didn't go out. He just stayed where he was. And God began to bring them two by two. Some two by two, some by sevens. I you know, when I met it on that thing the other time, I said, Lord, this is, if somebody was didn't know it was God, they say it's magic. Because for two, and it wasn't just two energy, it was male and female. And then, hello, birds just started flying in twos towards the ark. You know, it's going to be the same way. You will have nothing to do with it. It's going to be a divine thing. And he's the one that's going to choose who and who. Who is the male? Who's female? I know there's no male or female in Christ. But he's going to choose them. He's going to bring them by his power into the ark that he's now ready and prepared. I also wonder somehow, you know, so sometimes, you know, the Lord opens my mind and I think to myself, it takes a great amount of spiritual power. When you bring in two lions, a lion and a lioness, maybe it's the boy, I don't know how many, but it's two of them anyway, and then you now put them in a compartment next to two deer, two goats, for over a year, and nothing happens. I mean, you know, those things, they are majestic thoughts that God, how in the world? And meanwhile, the snake, how did you keep the snake from going through the hole or whatever and ending up in your bed? That is Noah's bed, I mean. Pastor, you're laughing. It's the truth. How did you keep the python from grabbing one of the sons or one of the ladies in the ark and squeezing the life out of them? What does that mean? That shows us the amount of control God has over his creation. And he has that much control over all the animals. Why shouldn't he have the same amount of control over you and I? All he did was give you a free mind. Now he's not going to take that from us. But you understand what I'm saying? That there is a path that he has laid out for everyone to walk in. The path from sinner to Jesus Christ. And as long as you're on that path, his hand will be upon you and nothing can happen to you that is out of his control except you step out of that path. Once you're, you say, I've been the way the Lord led me. Once you're in the way, all those little, animals that came, once they were in the way, it was destined that they would enter the ark, that they would be kept in the ark for 1 year, that they will be fed in the ark for 1 year, that there nothing will happen. There will be no loss. There was no report of loss. One, not a single dove died. No snail was stepped upon by whoever it was mistakenly. Hello? Yes. Now, can you imagine all those animals? Some of them have long, you know, horns. They didn't dig somebody else out in the next apartment. They were all still in their compartments. Be still and know that I am God. Thank you, Pastor Laudu. You know, when I was meditating, I said, there's so much in that ark thing. And I believe that God put it there for us so that we too can think about it and, you know, meditate upon it and make ourselves prepared for what he's going to do now when he wants to bring in his church. The ark is ready. The living animals are now being brought in two by two before the flood of judgment and glory comes in. Beloved, it's not how much we do in the body of Christ. What matters is whether what we do and accomplish is what he has signed for us to do. And say, oh, thank you. It's not what we, you know, Pastor always used to give that example of a guy that made a cake for God, apple pie, or was it apple pie. And he presented for God, and God said, I don't like apple pie. I never actually do it. What we do, folks, let's batten down the hatches. Let's get before God. Let's ask him, Lord, what wouldest thou that I should do? What should be my attitude at this time? What should be the thing that should be, you know, and we've been told really, but the essence is that you're now submitted to it. You say, Lord, I'm willing. Help me to do it. I am now ready. Please help me to do it. Amen? Most Christians are laboring today in all kinds of positions, trying to do this. They have a so-called calling to XYZ. They've been called to build an edifice that is 16 stories high, you know. That's not wrong entirely, but it's just putting the cart before the horse, in my opinion. There'll be time for buildings. There'll be time for raising edifices. There'll be time for, you know, going to the nations. There's all that coming up. We're going to go there. But this first. And then it's only after that, only after we have a church that is without spot, without blemish or anything, conform fully to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. God will now raise the borders of the nation and say, now go. Because anything else, I was listening to the news today, I just shook my head. I said, Lord, it's only you that's in control in this land, in this world now. There's all kinds of flagrations coming up. Ukraine and Russia are just one, but they're all over the place. You know, China is doing this. Russia is also making noise, you know. All the sea and the waves are roaring. And not roaring one by one. They're now roaring in unison. And some of them are saying the end of the world has come. Well, in a sense, they're right. But there's a lot more before that happens. But the essence is, brothers and my sisters, please, let's batten down the hatches, so to speak. Let's make our priority the things that we have been taught in this house, the things that make for to perfection and the fullness of Christ, the things that make us ready for the deluge of the power of God that is about to be made manifest. For me, there's nothing else. I mean, I've been in this church for quite a long time. I thank God for the graces that God has used to minister to me. I thank God for my fathers, whose graces I'm trusting by the mercy and the grace of God, I'm reproducing my life gradually. But I will tell you this, there's nothing else out there. I was out there and I've been out of it for so long now. I don't even recognize what's going on. The world I left behind has gone completely. It's now, I don't know what's out there now. It's now it's frightening. So I don't understand. Maybe, well, God will give me understanding. Why people in the world today don't want to rush into the body. And can you imagine being in that ark? You're free from all the wiles, all the stuff that this Satan is doing outside. God said, don't worry. They will, just said, don't worry, said they're coming. You complete the ark. They will come. You make sure that there's a place for them, a habitation of rest, then they will come. When they see what God is going to do in his church, when they see the joy, the peace, the wonderful things that God does for his people, they'll say, why can't I be like that? Why can't my life take on the life of so-and-so, take on the life of a professor here, or pastor down here, or pastor Kunle down there? Why does my life have to be like this? And he said, yes, you can come. Come in. Come all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But there must be a place of rest first. Which is why I believe God is having us to just kind of just pull our, tweak our ears a little bit again concerning this issue of preparing that place of perfection and full and in our hearts and in our lives. A place that God is taking us to where we'll be completely and totally free, devoid of the sin nature. And manifest his glory as perfected sons of God. The Bible says of him, in this third day, I will be perfected. We're now in that third day. Like Pastor said before, we're in the 42nd or 43rd generation. Amen? The generation that sees the budding of the future. And we're seeing it all over the news. So we know the time has come. The time has come to pass. Two scriptures as I close. Tell your neighbor, we will see the glory of I will see the glory, and I will partake of it in fullness by the mercy and the grace of God under the covering of the fathers. Amen. Haggai 2:6-7. Haggai 2:6-7 as we close. Thank you, Jesus. Hope you got something out of this. Not a long message, just a small, brief exhortation. Haggai. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and now what? That's already happening. And the earth and the sea and the dry land. Next verse. And I will do what? Shake all nations. We're in that time frame now. All nations are shaking. I don't know any nation who thinks that they got it all worked out. I don't think there's any on the earth today every nation has a point of inflection or contention. Something is happening in every nation. It's unusual. There's no peace anymore. I will shake all nations. And the consequence of that is the desire of all nations shall come, that is the Lord Jesus, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The time is upon us now. This house of his house, his church. Isaiah 40, and we'll close with this. Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 5. Comfort ye. Yes. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. I believe the Lord is speaking to everyone here and those who are listening online. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem as the place of outside the that's not Israel, but Jerusalem as the most, as the inner court, not the most holy place. He's talking about the holy place, not the most holy place. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare, so she's been fighting. There's been a contention. There's been a struggle, but God says it's accomplished. Not only has it accomplished in the sense that it's over, or almost over, but it has also accomplished the purpose for which the warfare was loosed. That her iniquity, talking about perfection today, is pardoned. For she had received the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Next verse. Now, this is what we're doing here today. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a two-lane highway. A highway. That means, you know, I want to give you an example of what happened the first time I got on the Brooklyn Queens Expressway. When I went to America. You know, you're going out, the road was, and then all of a sudden, yum! That's a real expression. I'm telling you. I think it was seven lanes, and come and see. It was just speed. How did you know? Were you there? I was driving that day. That was the first time I was going to somewhere in the Bronx. I said, you take BQ and you get BQ, yours up to. I said, okay, all right. As I entered that day, I said, I think I was in trouble. Because, number one, the speed. And number two, my jalopy was doing well in Jesus' name. So I said, nothing must happen. Because if it breaks down there, what am I saying? I'm saying the extent of the size. I think it was 5 lanes or so. I don't know how many, let me not guess. But it was so extensive on my side that I had to go to the very extreme because my car was not at that level, you know. So I was on the outside, but there were lanes, and it was just flying, fume, 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 fume. And that's one side. On the other side, the same thing. They were going. I said, Lord, just get me to the Bronx. I'm not coming back this way. I'm not coming back that way anymore. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, when that highway word hit me, I remember that. I said, Lord, it's a place of massive transit in speed, in comfort, in power. A highway that God can come in a rush. Vroom! Oh God. That's what just came to me when I saw that word highway. I remember that day. I said, if you're not moving on this way, in fact, you won't even be there. Which is why I made a mistake. I was there. I shouldn't have been there. But somehow I think, you know, but it was a quick way. That's the fastest way. So this is how it was a quick way also. Amen. Make it a desert highway for God. Next verse. Every valley. Now, we all have valleys in our lives. None of us is completely smooth yet. But we're going there. Every valley shall be what? Exalted. Every mountain of pride and self-will and stubbornness, covetousness, all these things that, you know, want to make us feel bigger than we are. Every mountain hill shall be made low. The crooked, all the rough paths of crookedness and 419 that we all get into. Blah, blah, blah. Hello? I'm sure you know if you have done that before. You've all been straight, upright, singularly, well-behaved. You have not done anything out of deception or deceit. Of course, never. Not you. Pastor Wade is the only one that's done that. Eh? All right. Mercy is a good word for that. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places made plain. Pastor Kuni was preaching this somewhere. It's his voice I'm hearing in my head. I was preaching it some time ago. Next, and the glory. Now, when all that is done, what's going to happen? The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh. That means the whole world shall see it together. And to know, tell you that it is true, God says, this came out of my mouth. My word will not return void, but it shall be accomplished. Hello? Now is being accomplished. And the whole world are going to see this come to pass in the life of the body of Christ in the earth at this time. So, brethren, we're living in wonderful times. Really wonderful times. This is not a long message, just an exhortation. I'm trusting that I'll be able to just say one or two things. I mean, I've said everything as well as I ought to have, but I've said one or two things that will ginger us to let us know that, folks, the time is not just near, the time is upon us. It's beyond near now. It's gradually, like the Bible says, at the doors. And all we have to do, well, I'm going to say all, but we have to make sure that our part in it is secure in God. We do the best we can. Of course, everybody's at different levels, but God has never despised the person who does his best, even at his level. Everybody is invited. There's no special person in God's eyes. Everybody, God loves everybody the same. But you can endear yourself to God by being a part of the move that is about to burst forth on the earth now. The ark is ready, folks. Pastor said that thing again on Sunday when he was chatting with us. Yesterday. The ark is ready. It's just to feel it now. Now, whether you're going to be a part of the ark builders or you're going to be a part of the living things that God brings into the ark, you are richly and truly blessed. So I want to go forth from here on in the knowledge of that fact that God is preparing a place for you, preparing a place for I, where we will be safe, where the storms will not be able to catch us, where the glory, ark that we are in will be lifted up above all the floods of the world. And they're coming, folks. You can see things. I mean, the more I watch TV, I try not to watch too much of it these days. In fact, there's some channels I don't even watch again. I just switch it off. Too much wahala, you know. It's just one thing after another. I say, what is going on? But this is the time. Say, when darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people, then the Lord will now rise upon us and he'll bear us up in glory. And we will be the light that will shine and the whole world will come to the brightness of our rising. We give God the glory and God the praise. Let's pray and just ask the Lord, speak to the Lord. Trust the choir has a song on their heart. Sister Bid. Let's talk to the Lord and just mull over this short exhortation concerning what it means, the perfection and fullness of Christ, where it's taking us to, the state of the things in the earth, the state of the church, our hearts. All these things are of momentous meaning at this point in time. And I'm just going to exhort us that having begun, having put our hands to the plow, let's not take our hands off the plow. And most importantly, let's not look back. For now is our salvation nearer. Now is the consummation of all things nearer than when we first believed. The Lord will have mercy.
Lord, prepare me, yes, a sanctuary. Pure and holy, pure and holy, tried and true,
tried and true.
Ooh. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living
sanctuary
for.
Pure and holy,
tried and true,
tried and true.
We'll
Mercy, Lord, tonight upon this house. Thank you for your faithfulness. We come to thank you, Lord God, for the times and seasons that we are in. For by your mercy and grace, you are teaching us to know and to do what we ought, to humble ourselves before your mighty hand, mighty throne, to take hold of your covenant, Lord God, Lord, to purpose, Lord, in our hearts, that we will not deny you, not deny your name, but rather we press on unto the fullness the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. By the blood, the word, and the power of the Spirit, perfect in holiness in the fear of Almighty God, so that under the covering of the fathers, we in this body, individually and collectively, and for all those under the sound of my voice, under the covering of the fathers, Lord God, will now attain unto, Lord God, the perfection and the fullness of Christ that guarantees us a place, Lord, in the ark you have prepared already. Father, we thank you, Lord God, because, Lord, in this season of your glory, you're raising up, Lord God, sons and daughters who declare your manifold wisdom in all the earth. So, Father, we ask for mercy to be faithful. Mercy, Lord God, to triumph. Mercy, Lord, not to faint. Mercy to be victorious, Lord God, to apprehend the fullness of all that you have prepared for each and every one of us under the sound of my voice, ever since before time began. We say, Lord God, we will take hold together with you and your Spirit. We'll run this race with great diligence. By your mercy and grace, obtain the prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ, and the manifestation of the glory of your Spirit without measure. We give thanks with a grateful heart, for you do for us exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or can imagine. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's pray in the Spirit in tongues. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. For your blood, your life, your power, in upon our wills, in our minds, in our emotions, in our physical members, in our regional heavenlies, insufficient measure. In this regard, in Jesus' name, amen. If you need healing, can you just raise up your hand wherever you are? As we pray, the Lord will minister his healing power. Wherever you are, if you're here in the auditorium, and if you're in diaspora listening online, just set your hands out towards your device. The Lord will have mercy and transmit that power through that device unto you as you believe. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great mercies. Thank you for your power that is here present to heal. Father, in the name of Jesus, for all those who have stretched out their hands to their devices, all those who have their hands raised up in this auditorium, we say we send forth the word of healing. We say we minister life your physical body, from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, flushing out every infirmity, every sickness, every disease, every law of sin and death. And we declare Under the covering of the Father, we say, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed and you are made whole. In Jesus' name, amen.